Thou knowest, Lord. Are you getting my point? They said, we can. I said, in that case, I hereby dash you the cup. All right? You will drink. Now you have qualified for that place. Well, but I'm not sure you'll get it, but at least you have qualified. That's why I'm like, let me leave that, my message on that area there. That is, to qualify, you got to drink. So sometimes we have prayed for blessings you have not yet qualified for. I mean, that's a very simple thing. I think you can understand that. They came to the Lord and asked for something. And the Lord said, to get it, you must qualify. They said, yes. Tell us the path of qualification. That is, for them to be considered, they had to drink that cup first. So God says, I have heard. For you to receive this, you got to drink. Meanwhile, all the while, he's been offering you the drink that qualifies you for your prayer, and you've been running away from it. Do you get my point? That's why I talked about the washing of water by the word. I'm going somewhere. Let's read another scripture. Just bear that one in mind. Philippians chapter 3. I've read this one several times before. So I was trying to explain something just now. So you see that magnet, once God, maybe say, God, please, I want pins all around me. God says, no problem. You will find pin. Then you pass through and no pin sticks to you. Say, God, but I said I wanted pin. He said, yeah, I've placed pin there, but only those who can attract pin carry them along when they pass. He said, what am I going to do therefore? Come back in, let me magnetize you. You know, there's a principle of magnetizing metal. Get into the right coil. Get this proper coil wound around you, which is the power of God. Get the proper current flowing through you. Do you get my point? Then your metal is charged, and all the pins starts jumping towards you. Do you follow what I'm saying? So a lot of things that you are praying for, God heard. They just say you are not able to receive it yet. So how do I get to the place where I can receive it? I've said it before, the blessings of God, they are weights. You must be built up to be able to receive it. It's the same thing, just another way of explaining it. You must be cleansed. You must be sanctified by the word of God. You see, it tells you something here. It tells you that the word, it brings you to a place which we are calling sanctification, which is a place in which you begin to think like God, begin to reason like God. Your thoughts begin to resonate with God. God told them, Isaiah chapter 55, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Therefore, when you pray for things, I'm adding my own words now, and I want to give them to you. You are not thinking like me, so you can't get them. Are you getting my point? He said, this is the way it works. You want to walk with God, you have to agree with him. The only way by which you can agree with God is to be cleansed by his word. After all, what do we call sanctification and holiness? That is agreeing with God in your purpose in life. Remember our good example, Anna. Anna had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And God said, I have heard. Are you getting my point? The following year, Anna will come back and pray. God said, I have heard. Then how come I have not yet received any of them now, the children? Not one. And God said, because you have not been sanctified, you have not reached the place where our thoughts are going in tandem, working together. So I believe that God organized instructions. And then Anna received the instructions, and then she went into the temple one day and prayed. And said, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. God said, now we are thinking alike. Therefore, the priest came and said, what is the problem? This is the problem. He said, you have received it now. How come you didn't notice? Are you getting my point? Of course. The following year, she delivered Samuel. Why? Because she had become sanctified. She had begun to understand God and understand the purpose of God. Why do we preach like we do? Why does the Spirit of God stir you up to come and listen? Why does it stir you up to go to places to hear? Why does it stir you up to take your money and buy books, buy tapes, buy stuff? Because God wants to do something in life. Are you getting my point? And until somebody is sanctified, you know by sanctification now, that is cleansed by the power of that word so that his thought is no longer filthy. Because this is a problem with uncleanliness. Uncleanliness is a matter of the thoughts of the mind and imaginations. When God was going to destroy, what did he say? He said the thoughts of the heart of man is constantly what? Evil. That is the imagination of his heart. That's what God concerns himself with. Are you getting me? So when God wants to cleanse people, it tells you simply that he's cleansing their thoughts. It's not just their deeds. Deeds are products of what? Thoughts. It's what a man is thinking about that's expressed by his actions. So God said, look at man. His imagination is constantly evil. Therefore, it pains me that I have placed him upon this earth. That's why, look, Wazudwa Kananda was sharing the other day. I said a lot of people deny God the opportunity to make his point. Let me give an example. Let's assume in your place, there is an unwritten rule that any boy who has not yet built a house in his father's compound cannot marry. Are you getting my point? God said it's not a godly rule. It's an evil imagination. It's an evil thought. I need to make a point. Then he raises Christians. They come from that area. Then when it comes to marriage, I'm like, listen, no. Anybody who doesn't do that. And the person buys it. God said, this boy has denied me the opportunity to make my point. Listen, the church is a pillar of truth. That is, they are the ones that hold up the standard of God. That's what a pillar is. Are you getting my point? So when you use the thoughts of the world, the pattern of thinking of the world to do things, you are offending God. That is, you are supposed to help me lift up the real standard. Now you are thinking like them. So what is sanctification to that person? That he discovers what the real thoughts of God are. Are you getting my point? And he thinks like God. And God said, look, I have to make my point. He said, you are going to marry as soon as you leave school. Say, yes, sir. Then in 15 years, I'll make sure everybody that built a house before you comes to beg you for money. I will make sure that by the time you finally finish building, are you getting my point? That when they want to hold village meeting, they will be taking permission to use your compound. I will make sure that every wedding conducted in that village, all right, between this particular year and this particular year, they will be begging you to be the chairman. Then when you want to start, at the chairman says, opening remarks, I remember then when I wanted to marry, people said that, and I thank God because the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ does not ever disappoint those who wait for him. And then all of them will have to agree. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. Do you understand? Or you see a man who has manifested, you will agree. Then you set a new standard. Then maybe one man wants to marry one day, and the mother wants to say, hey, look at him, he has not, He said, if this guy hears, listen, that's how we said, then you become another story to tell. Then God has made his point. He has solved that problem, and he goes on to something else. I remember then I had a discussion with friends. I said, look, you know, everything, I told you the other day, that there's nothing I really believe God for in this life, that he has not brought to pass in my life. Therefore, I know the other ones I'm believing for, he's bringing them shortly. This year, I just know that blessing is waiting by the door. If I pass like this, one will jam me, sure. I believe it very strongly. 2007 is really my year of blessing. I really believe it. Actually, the blessing has been there for some time. Just that finally, the beginning of this year, God said, look, oh boy, be careful yourself before I vex for you. I said, okay, what can I do? And he showed me what I did. I said, sorry, I will not do it anymore. Do you get the point I'm trying to make here? That is, God really, he wants to make points in life through his people. I told you, I believe very strong that God wants to pour forth a blessing upon me. Very, very, very seriously. So that my life can be a story that people will tell that they said it shouldn't be like this. Nah. This is the way it's supposed to be done. And we have seen this guy's life as an example of how it's supposed to be done. Are you getting my point? When you deny God that opportunity, you have really frustrated the counsel of God for your own life. That's what sanctification is. Listen, sanctification is not, oh God, it's not the thing some people call it. Tie your ears inside scarf doesn't make them sanctified. Dirty ears outside is dirty under the scarf. You get what I'm saying? No, I'm telling you the truth. That what is sanctification? That evil thoughts or evil behavior come out of evil thoughts. God said, my problem with human beings is that their thoughts are evil constantly. So God says, one of the ways I'll handle is the church is a pillar of truth. They have to bring up new standards for the people, which is my standard. Therefore, I sanctify them with the washing of water by the word. I begin to teach them the right way to do things. Then when people challenge them, they stand by my principles. And the Bible said, like we read that time from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We read it down. And we found out that it said that there is a day of visitation. That in that day, what God is trying to do is that he will bring a day in which he will separate, he will make it clear those who served God, like Malachi said, and those who did not serve him. Are you getting my point? Therefore, I was saying that, you see, so many things that God wants to do in life, What he's doing is that he's sanctifying you and I to get to that level. Like I was telling you just now, that I know that a lot of, God wants to, I am sure, you get my point of what I'm saying? That God, that he said, Banky, all your faith, all your works, everything, I think you are thinking with me here. Therefore, I've collected the blessing waiting. But, there's one problem you have here. I said, what is it? And that's why we are not releasing this thing. We were supposed to release it. They showed me this, and this one night. And I woke up and said, God, I am sorry. From now on, I do things rightly. And since then, I am beginning to see favor. Favor is beginning to flow. Oh, listen, Mecca, we shouldn't share that testimony. No, let's leave it. For those who were around, there was something I said. No, let me share it with you. One day I said something, some of you were around. Can you remember me saying it? I said that I'm not looking for one rich man somewhere to come and say that, look at these boys, they are walking somewhere. You remember the day I said that? All right? What was that next thing I said? I said one of the people have been blessed by the world. One day we just say, Pastor, here's a million naira. 2 weeks after, a boy called me, said, Pastor, here is a million naira. Yeah. We're due to pay rent, pay cost, pay everything. I was doing account just now, I smiled. I said, this account is in good positive balance. Remember me preaching, I said that it's either $4,000 or a miracle. And God sent $4,000. No, you remember me preaching it? I said, we're buying video cameras, good ones. Right now, I have the balance actually now is $4,000. A young man just called me. He said, sir, I am a product of the world. And listen, he told me something. Let me share this with you. He said, sir, most students who go to school are from humble backgrounds. He said, but I'm far from below what you call a humble background. He said, everything I've achieved in life, I realize is a product of the word of God. You know, I've forgotten that thing. You know, the way we described, I didn't even mention it. It was yesterday voice that was in church. I just remembered that 2 weeks ago I was preaching here. And I said that, listen, I'm not looking for one big man somewhere to come and have mercy on these young people who are doing ministry. That is those who are blessed with the word of God that will show our gratitude to God and push the word further. I was thinking about, God wanting to do things. 2 nights before I got his call, I was walking up the staircase and I realized that we had to pick up some FM, a lot of money. For the first time, we're behind. All right? And then this, our rent here was due. And as my typical self, I will never come and say, hey, brethren, stretch yourself. You didn't beg me to rent this place. I will not put an emotional burden on you to sustain the rent. It's as a man has prospered by the word. Are you getting my point? That announcement we take, we will not modify it for anybody. This is Kingdom World Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry with this and this. The resources of this ministry come from free will donation. If you have an offering, there is a basket there, then we'll share the grace. I don't look at who's putting basket. No, it doesn't concern my body. You are getting my point. So that night as I was climbing the stairs, I was climbing the staircase. Then suddenly I remember the bills we have to pay. I said, God, dear Lord. I was making some plans in my head on what I could do to get things done and all that. And I said, but God, that's not really what I would like to do, but I would do it if it comes to that. All right? Actually, my older car, I said, look, I'll just sell it, use the money and all that. So I said, look, anybody wants to buy a car? I didn't need the money, there was something I need the money for. Are you getting me? Anybody wants to buy a car? My car is up for sale, just talking like that. So as I was climbing the stairs, I just remembered it and I was thinking. Then suddenly I told myself that, Banky, wait. I gave the Spirit of God, I thought it was me telling myself. That God, Banky, listen, if God were to come through with a miracle tomorrow, are you getting me? How will you feel that you were worrying today? I said, I'll feel bad. I said, in that case, I said, okay, how will you feel if God were to come with a miracle? You will say, I knew he would. Say, why don't you just knew you would right now also? So I said, Lord, I get the point. I said, Lord, Father, I give you thanks. I commit it into your hands. 2 days later, I got the phone call. Do you understand my point? So that is, unbelief had prevented God from doing certain things. And the moment he cleansed with the washing of water by the word, actually it was after that day, I knew that 2007, I would almost drown in blessing. Watch me, anything you see, just know. Let me share you my personal thing. Let me just explain what happened that night. I woke up. The Bible talked about the horror of great darkness that came upon Abraham. All right? Before, when he was going to make that sacrifice, that covenant. So I woke up, suddenly it was a dread that came upon me. And my mind went back to Abraham quickly. So I said, that means God wants to tell me something. So I got up, left my bedroom, and went out my study, put on my computer. I didn't know what to say. I said, okay, what do I do? Let me start reading Hebrews chapter 11. And I studied Hebrews chapter 11, and it was as if, so this is what faith means. All right. It took me about maybe like 30 minutes or 45 minutes of studying. Then when that one ended, personal instructions began to come. I took a piece of paper and began to scribble them down. Are you getting my point? At the end, I understood what God was still saying. That in effect, just what I preach to people, sometimes I don't hear myself. God says, I have prospered you a little. And you have thought that anything I want to do must come out of what I have already done. I said, dear God, I'm sorry. Do you follow my point? That's one problem. I told you about the danger of prosperity. You know, when you had nothing, you could believe God. When you have something small, you manage it. But God said, you see, it doesn't work like that. You have nothing, you believe me. I give you something, you still believe me. I give you more, you still keep on believing. Therefore, you keep on increasing all the days of your life. Are you getting my point? That's what is called the washing of water by the word. I started this by trying to explain that there are many things that God wants to make happen in life. So that's why he gathers you in quote, waste your time like this. You know what I mean by, in quote, waste your time. It's not really wasting your time. It's polishing your future with the word. Because if it doesn't get your heart to begin to think like him, there are things he will never be able to do in life. And people say, we said it wasn't possible. God said, you don't get the point. I wanted to do it. You were supposed to be my new standard of righteousness. But you refused to think like me. You were thinking like them. Now nothing happened. And all of you are now agreeing that it was not possible. Meanwhile, I said everything is possible if only you can believe. And you see, you can't just wake up in the morning. I told you that faith is not like I've closed my eyes. I believe. Nonsense. Faith comes by two things. Instruction and experience. Do you get my point? But this way, it comes by instruction, experience, and instruction. I don't know whether you're following what I say. That is, those are the three things, instruction, experience, and instruction, that God puts together to build faith in your heart. That's why you want to prosper in life. And you don't take the time out to have your heart renewed with the word of God. You are just fooling yourself. You are wasting your time. Hope only comes out of what? Faith. That is when God has built faith in your heart that it creates a new expectation for you. You hear me shouting that I know that from now when I say 2007, I don't mean God will bless me 2007 and stop. I mean it's the beginning of greater blessings beyond the one that I had experienced in the past. That's what I mean. Now, why did I suddenly begin to speak like that boldly? Because one night, I got instructions again. Based on previous instructions and experience that I've had, it put things together and then faith became stronger in my heart. Do you get my point? That night when I prayed, and the other night, or even before then, I prayed for Kingdom World Ministries. I began to pray about certain things, asking God for this kind of, because look, I shared that day, that as if God sends you, all right, it is responsible to equip you, right? But I now said that you have to pray for the equipment. Do you understand my point? He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. Paul said, pray for us that doors might be open. You don't force the doors open, you pray them open. I give an example. He said, oh, you know, we've been planning that seminar. I said, people come and talk for 45 minutes. I don't go. I don't like to go. The people started queuing up and say, oh God, please, 3 days. Can you just give us 3 days? I said, seminars we wanted to organize with our money. Now they will organize it. Then we will announce it on air. That we are going to be in so-and-so place, preaching so-and-so doctrine. Then people that will have been begging to come here, we go there. Is it not the same thing? When we are going, we'll carry our own materials there and put a stand there and say, buy MP3 CDs, buy normal CDs, buy books. The same thing we'll have done without at our own expense. I said, God is indeed good. Then suddenly, all our plan of we take seminar here and begin to rearrange it. Say, it's not necessary again. The people there will organize and say, sir, please, sir. They will be doing begging with it. You understand my point? That is, God has opened doors. That night when I began to pray, I realized that those things have begun to happen. Are you getting my point? Why am I saying all of these things? All the things that God wants to do in your life,
Satan has tried to explain all the reasons why it can't happen. It's Nigeria. It is your background. You don't have money. You don't know anybody. God said, I have to cleanse all that nonsense. It's called defilement of flesh and spirit. You know how you defile the spirit? With words. No, it's words you use to defile spirit. Has God really said, thou shalt not eat? You shall not surely die. That's defilement of what? Spirit. The spirit starts getting defiled. So everything you hear in life is defilement of spirit. God said, before I can do anything in your life, I have to cleanse it. How do I cleanse it? By the washing of water, by the word. I'm talking about the threefold purpose of God in your life. And this one is the paramount thing. Before God can do every other thing we have said, either in the body of Christ through you or on the earth through you, he has to first do this one in you. Listen, people who will make it in life and impact their generation for God are those who are rearranging their thoughts, all right, to start thinking with God. In physics, they call it resonance. I've been saying that thing again. For those of you who did not read physics, go and read it. Say, what is resonance that pastor is always talking about? That is when the natural frequency of an object, all right, is matched by the frequency of the inciting force. Resonance. In the same manner, great force that God will release to get great results on the earth. He said it's the power of resonance. How does it happen? You think at my speed. You think at my frequency. You receive by faith the things I want to do. When people say it's not possible, they say it is possible. That nothing is impossible to anyone who believes. I said, well, you are thinking like me? Then you will download great force. You will download great grace. You will download great power. But to get to that level, and I told you, you can't surprise God. So let me surprise him. My name is Solomon. He will ask for wisdom. I will surprise. He will ask me for anything. To ask for anything, I will surprise him by asking for wisdom. I said, which kind of surprise? I wanted you to ask for wisdom. So I told your father to teach you about the importance of wisdom. Therefore, as a young boy, Solomon was taught by David. Desire wisdom. Run after her. She's to be more desired than great treasure. She's to be more desired by any other physical thing on this earth. In her right hand, there's riches and honor. What else are you looking for? He said, this is how great kings behave. So God said, all right. So Solomon, what do you want? He said, my father told me when I was young that if I ever come to this crossroad, I should ask for wisdom. And you know one thing about God? God is not the type that when you pass the exam, you say, come, you have seen crunch. They leaked the paper to you. You know, like, I'm a lecturer. Someone just who was not doing very well, only does very well. Did you see the paper? God said, no, you were supposed to see the paper. I wanted you to see the paper. The only thing that you did not know the day of the test, but I allowed you to know the questions so that, and in fact, not only that, I told you the answers to the questions. The only problem is that stubborn men on the day of exam will say, no, I believe my answer is better than God's answer. We were discussing on Monday about Cain. He said, Cain, what have you done? He was very angry. How can you accept the sacrifice of Abel? I don't accept my own sacrifice. What kind of wickedness is that? God says, see, it is the way it is. If you have done rightly, now, there's an opportunity for doing rightly. God presented it to him again. If you're not around, get that seed. And the man still refused. Then, greater problems came into it. He began to kill. God gave the opportunity, gave him the opportunity to do the right thing again. Okay, we have done the exam, you have failed. Now, let me reset it. The same thing, this is what you are going to do next time. The man refused. Stubbornness. Are you getting my point? That is, when God wants you to get somewhere, what he does is take the word to train you to that level. There's no crunch in it. When he has given you everything, that's okay. What exactly did I tell you to do? And I said, you said we should do it like this, and we are going to do it like this. He said, fine. Then the man has passed the test. Then he will experience grace on the earth. Are you getting my point? There's something I said I will mention at the beginning. Now, you know, I said you should open somewhere. Your Bible is open to where? Philippians chapter 3. Anyway, let's we'll read it. But there's something I was trying to explain. That you see, I said earlier that like that principle of magnetism in the realm of the spirit, it said that I was explaining that You know, just like the magnet will come and naturally attract the pains. In the same manner, when you have reached the point that God wants you to reach in life, that spiritually speaking now, by that cleansing, then the next thing you now begin to experience is a natural attracting of those manifestations of God. That's why God said, you will now be, the Bible says, you now begin to see the Lord. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? That so a lot of things in life, you know, one of the things God has helped me with is one that thing that Oswald Chambers talked about, the cult of the passing moment. That is when God is walking in your life. God really doesn't announce little by little, I'm walking here, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. Usually, it's you look back and discover that which God had done, that which was fulfilled, that was written. Do you get my point? That is all these things that we are saying, I know for sure it will happen in the lives of everybody imbibing this truth. Do you understand my point? But then one day they will just look back and say, ah, was this not what Pastor Bank said one day? Oh, this was what he was trying to say. That is, you look back, last 15, 20 years, things have happened in your life. And say, wow. Yeah, actually, I knew that time it was going to happen. You know, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Listen to this. You can pray now, and I urge you all to do that. Sit down, imagine the wildest thing you can think about. I got a pastor called CD recently. I listened to him a lot. And he said something that when Jesus said, ask in my name, he said that what he was saying, in effect, this is how he explained it. I don't know what I shared with us here. And this is how he explained it. He said, imagine that the president of this country wants to leave office. And he comes to you and says, ask for anything that I can do for you as a president. I'm leaving in 1 week. And you think and think and think and say, can I have 5,000 naira? He said he will look and say, I believe you don't understand what I said. I said, ask me for something. I'm telling you as a president, not as a man who has 5,000 naira. 1 week after I leave office, I will still have 5,000 naira to give you. Are you getting the point? That is, I'm saying ask for something that only a president can do for you. Do you get my point? Let me just give an example, practical example, so that you understand this. I remember time David West, after he left office, after Babangida disgraced him very well, and Babangida now left office, he tried to get his job back as professor of microbiology in Ibadan. And of course, they refused to give him the job. So you know what Abacha did for him, for which he was forever grateful? Abacha used the power of the head of state to get him back that post. You know, no vice chancellor, no minister could say no once the president said, reinstate that man. Do you get my point? Now that you understood it. So he was trying to explain that. So when Jesus said, ask me for, he said, whatever you ask in my name. He said, what he was saying therefore is that it has to be things that normally human beings can't do for you. Are you getting the point I'm making here? So what I'm trying to say is that if something is easy, you can easily calculate how it will come to pass, then you have not prayed well. No, God said that go home, maybe tonight. It's an assignment. Just lie down and there's an area of your passion. There's an area of your expertise. There's an area of your desire, all right? There's something that you really want to see done. Please, don't pray a foolish prayer like God. 5 Lincoln Navigators, 2 Hummers, 7 houses, and 12 wives. Please. Don't pray such ungodly prayer. No, you should say it to people. That's not what I mean. Do you get my point? Uh-huh. Thank you very much. So, I believe you are praying as somebody who we have interacted. You've understood what I mean, that the desire of the heart of a king, all right? That Solomon wants to be a blessing, wanted to be a blessing to Israel. That was why wisdom was important to him. Are you getting my point? Therefore, you want to be a blessing to yourself, to your family, to the church of God, to the nations of the earth. That's what I mean by pray. A brother sent me a text. I still have it here. He said, oh, many times those days you come to LCC. That's my mother fellowship on campus. And you will say, many men listening to me will build things bigger than mobile. He said, I've never forgotten it, sir. I'm going for that. Do you get my point? You see why I will be rich in this life? See why I will be blessed? Look at the kind of people sending me texts with their wild and crazy dreams, which God knows will come to pass. I'm giving that to you so that you know what I'm talking about when I say go home and pray.
Why did God bother to put that thing in the scriptures? That Jabez prayed, "Oh, that you will bless me indeed." Why did he put it there? Read that book, The Prayer of Jabez, by Bruce Wilkinson. Uh-huh. Read it. Simple, practical things that you cannot imagine how it will happen. If you like oil and gas business, then go home and pray for something bigger than ExxonMobil. That's what I'm talking about. Do you get my point? I mean, you think about, maybe you like education, like the young man who I said came to see me. I said, "Dear Lord, the two best universities in Nigeria, I have this particular standard for them. I want to get involved in building them." Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That, why is it that we must import everything? "Lord, I want to manufacture this and this and this to make Chinese imports unattractive." So the kind of things I'm talking about. You like to design clothes, you lie down and say, "Dear Lord, one day will be a standard even in Italy." That is, you enter an Italian shop, they say, "Do you want a Nigerian suit?" Like, you go to Italy, you're in Milan, and they ask you, "Oh, we have Nigerian suits on this side. Yeah, please come over here." I like the fact that you laughed, because it shows you understand that only God does such things. When they told him what an Isera, he will beget. Until an idea makes your neighbor laugh, you are not taxing God yet. You are getting my point. That's what we are talking about. So you go, you pray, just choose an area where, look, I'm a preacher, all right? My wife is a business person, so I help her dream dreams. I help her dream dreams. Just choose your area. My own, I'm a preacher. I've dreamt, and I know God is, in fact, the thing I told you now, we're bending our cameras very shortly. I've frozen the money, the balance we have for our two cameras. No, we are getting it. You know why? Because, even if there was a personal offering I wanted to give before, I would still give it. So that we'll get two choice cameras. Not to look like, "Oh, they are going to see the camera they use at Kingdom Hall." That's not the point. Is that when we take this VCD, all right, and we take it to TBN and say, "Show this, Gospel from Africa." They will play it and say, "This is good." I remember the first day I took our CD to Cosmo FM. The guy listened to it and said, "This is better than most adverts we get from Lagos." In the little one we did, with all the background noise that we tried to cut away. I don't want to go on TV, just like I told you that day. And the camera will be shaking. Praise the Lord, 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 Lord. Echo everywhere. No. Now I'm dreaming those dreams. That is, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. There's something that God wants you to dream also. You get home and dream it. And then, "Oh, that you will bless me indeed and make these things happen." You know, this is the interesting part. Shortly after, you might even forget. Periodically, God might remind you. But events in life begin to make those things happen. Then 20 years' time, 25 years' time, 30 years' time, one day, God will just rewind that picture and bring the... I say, "Yeah, in one night, I finished studying, listening to the word of God, and I went home and prayed." Everything that we prayed about has not only happened, greater things than those things have happened. Because the Bible said, neither has he entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. Do you get my point? But Paul said, this is how it comes. By the washing of water, by the word. Sorry, we can't read Philippians chapter 3 because our time is gone. Therefore, let me end it here. We'll continue from there next time. Let us pray.